Hey everyone, this is Toggle. Welcome to episode 6 of Kangaroo Crossing. Good to have you all here. I'm really glad you could all make it. I need to start this episode off with a little bit of a note. My voice may sound a little weird today. I'm having a weird day today, and my voice has been shaky because of it. Despite this, I'm going to make sure the show goes on without a hitch. It's been a while since I've had 2 shows in a week, so I'm going to try and hit that quota, or something close to it anyway. Anywho, today's episode is about a subject that has been causing some discussion on the forum lately. One that I really started, but thanks to a little help from a friend, I actually thought of it as a good episode to do. So this episode is all about the difference, or rather the preference, between furry art and Yiffy, or furry art in, well, normal and not Yiffy. To start this off, I think I've explained Yiffy before, but in case I haven't, Yiffy is basically the furry term that refers to sexual or sex or sexy or whatever. It's basically our word for sex. Also sounds better than sex. I don't know why, it's just Yiffy sounds so much cooler. You know, Yiff, it sounds like a bark almost, like it's so much more... Nah. I don't know if that's a word or not, but that should be the word for it. Anywho, a lot of artists will go and make a lot of Yiffy art, where they have 2 furs having intimate relationships, or 1 fur having an intimate relationship with himself, or 1 fur and several tentacles, and so on and so forth. A lot of people might think this is, well, weird. We're furs, people. We know all about weird. We are the incarnation of weird. We go around and give cookies and steal underwear for a living, so trust me, weird is in our dictionary. Anywho, a lot of this art is preferred over, well, no, that's the wrong word. It is looked at a lot on a regular basis by a lot of people who are in the furry community. I shouldn't say preferred because it's not necessarily preferred. A lot of people like the normal furry art, the ones where they have beautiful scenery of furs just lying out in grass fields, or going out of waterfalls, or whatever, showing off the natural beauty of an actual, you know, fur glares, and how to make things more human or more animal-like. All these things are appreciated in normal art as well. Both of them are respected arts, I guess you could say. One may be a little less respected than the other. However, one cannot live without the other. They're basically the yin and yang of fur. As I've said before, the history of fur goes way back to the times of Greek mythology and other things that were, well, quite old. We go back probably towards the beginning of time. Well, as far as art and lifestyle has been. Back in the old days, they had ancient gods who would go around in animal form, or animal and human form, and they also had ancient creatures, minotaurs and stuff, that would also be in great legends. Now, most of the legends we hear nowadays are PG. You might hear a little bit about, you know, someone going around and ripping people's innards out, but even then, it remains within the no sex part. However, if you do look back closely at Greek mythology, there was actually a pretty good amount of anthrosex, if not bestiality. If you would recall the story of Helen of Troy, apparently in her past, Helen was actually one of Zeus's many, how would you say this? Offspring from a small accidental experimental thing. The worst part about it being that he basically turned into a bull or something, and a woman did him, and whoops, there's Helen of Troy. Basically, a lot of the gods were quite, how should I say this? They had a lot of stuff to get out. A lot of pent-up godly stress. Anywho, as time went by, we did see more and more of this happen. And nowadays, we're bringing it back out with our Yiffy art, I guess you could say. I guess that's kind of a weird way to put it, comparing, the Yiffy art we have today to old Greek mythology, but it does seem to be a continuing cycle. Anywho, I guess my main point is that that has been around for a while, as long with the normal anthro heart. Art. Not heart. Heart. Anthro heart? I'll have to think about that one. Anywho, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that one cannot live without the other, because both have been around for a pretty good amount of time, if not the same amount of time. Another part of this whole debate, I guess you could say, is the fact that there's naked art out there. Naked art just being furs being naked. Now, one of the more interesting parts of this is the actual anatomy of furs. Some people actually have to think about it a lot and about certain parts. For instance, if you actually go out and look at an animal, you'll notice that human anatomy and animal anatomy in that certain area are quite different. Now, I'm gonna have to put a little bit of a warning here. I'm about to go and say words and use anatomical terms and other such things that might offend someone. So if you do not like the idea of listening to me talk about anatomical parts, I cannot say that word, then please skip this podcast. As much as I hate to say it, go ahead and do it, because obviously this is not going to be stuff you want to hear about, and I don't want to force you to listen. So, you better get off in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The animal parts I'm referring to are boobs, vaginas, and penicles. Why am I saying penicles? I've already scared off all the bad people. Penises, people. Penises. Wow, that feels bad to say. Good, but, bad. I'm so naughty. Anywho, when it comes to breasts, if you actually look on anthros, most of them have basic, fur over the boob and then a nipple. I'm not gonna give it a name, so I'm basically just gonna call it that, a fur over boob and the nipple. Which just sounds cool and fun to say fast. Fur over the boob. Okay, you can't say that fast, apparently, but, tongue twister. Anywho, if you actually look on an animal, however, they have like 6 teats, basically. So, some people think about that and will go ahead and give an animal like 4 or 5 of them or some 6. They're an even number, so why am I saying 4 or 5? What's wrong with me? Anyway, some people give them 6 or so, and other people will just keep it to the normal, what I said before. Then it moves on to the vagina doesn't usually have much of a problem, really. Most people will just draw the line, go and do female details. As far as animal and humans go, I guess there's not much of a real difference. Not the one that I see, anyway. If someone does notice this, then feel free to correct me. I don't necessarily look at female anatomy that much. What I do notice, however, is a lot of people having problems with male anatomical parts, being the penis. Some people will do it like actual humans, having it hang down and a couple of balls and call it good. Man, this is really starting to feel uncomfortable. Anywho, let me try to continue if I can. Animals, however, have what's known as a sheath, which is basically where that part is covered up by fur and skin, and it comes out when they're erect. So some furs will have humans, some furs will have that. This actually goes into Yiffy art a lot because you have to figure out how it goes, and then you have to deal with certain human and animal differences. For instance, humans do it one way, and animals have other strange things that happen during intimacy. For instance, some animals are a little rougher and bite and like scratch a little bit. Cats have barbs on the their penis. Jeez, why am I having problems saying that word? Cats have barbs there to hold the female in place, which gives some furs a bit of a problem, and it's not something I really like to think about, being I don't like sharp, pointy objects in certain places. There's also the fact that there's knots in certain animals that that they have when they get into that certain state of arousal, being that one part gets really big and. This is really hard to talk about. Anywho, with all these anatomical differences between the animals and the humans, you'd actually have to go and study the animals to get it right. Which is why we sometimes get problems because, we're having humans going around and studying how dogs get her done. Recently, I have actually gone and started to delve into the naked art. Not exactly saying that anything's happening, but I did draw a picture of my fursona having, after a shower with some steam in place of where something would be shown. And if you look behind the steam, you will see a private anatomical feature. Now, I felt a little bad about this. Not exactly bad, but I felt like I was really jumping into something I was, hesitant to go into. I did go into it, however, and, I went with the sheath version so as to not completely and absolutely feel let out or, just hanging. Doing this made me realize that there is a bit of a natural beauty in that kind of art, mainly because you get to really think about how they're really shaped and how they're really. It lets you know your fursona a lot better. Knowing every bit of them helps you know yourself a little better. For instance, I guess you could say that if you went and made a fursona that was, well, hung like a horse, you might have a little bit more of an ego or a need to be more controlling in a relationship. However, if you're willing to give yourself something more smaller, more unique, more. What's the word I'm looking for? Delicate. It shows that you're a little more emotional. You don't really care about, being the big man, but more likely you're more willing to support people or be there for them. I guess you could basically say that the bigger you are, the more you want to be, well, the big guy. And the smaller you are, the more you'd rather be the supporting an emotional guy. It feels kind of weird to talk about the psychology of how you draw your parts, but I think that's what part of drawing in character naked does. It makes you think a little bit about it, or at least it did for me. In truth, I really did feel a little more comforted because I didn't exactly, try and master it, make it seem like some sort of monster. Instead, I was just comfortable lying in the shower, naked, with that part showing, but not like jumping out at you. That's why I put steam out in front. Basically showing that I'm there, but I don't need to be there. I guess I could go into a whole psychological, therapeutical rant if I wanted to, but somehow I feel that I wouldn't be able to really say what I'm trying to say here. I guess all I can really say, and to wrap this up, to keep myself from going on about it, is you should really try at least knowing your entire fursona's body if you're a fur. I think that Yiffyard also can help with this if you're willing to go that far, because then you get to know how you react to others or how you like others. And natural art's also good too, because you get to actually just appreciate being a fur in general. All three of these states or arts are dependent on each other, and without them, no part of it can really be accomplished. Being furry, like I've said before, is now a lifestyle, and there are many parts to a lifestyle, so you might as well be able to put them down on paper. Each fur might have their own opinion on this, and I guess that this is mine. If you disagree with me, I'm sorry, and you know what? You can make your own podcast, you can go and say what you want about it, and then we can all smile. Or maybe I could readdress this at a later date. So, how about we make a deal? If you have a disagreement with what I've said, or an insight on it, I'm willing to bring this conversation up again in, I don't know, maybe a month or so. However, you guys are gonna have to send me some emails in. If you want to get a hold of me, you can go on the forum I'm always talking about, and I don't think I need to readdress again, but no, I don't. Listen to one of the podcasts, you'll find it. It's a Canadian forum, it's fantastic. You can find me on there, you can PM me, or you can email me at afro_bunny_murr, MURR, underscore. No, wait, no underscore. Damn it. That's right, people, the show is uncensored still. I can curse. Damn it. Ugh. afro_bunny_murr@yahoo.com, or same thing, afro_bunny_murr@hotmail.com. If you want to IM me, I am at the Hotmail address for instant messaging. Please, I'd love to hear some messages. I'd love to. And I'd love to readdress this topic again. For now, I'm going to go ahead and end it. I guess all I really have to say is that, I'm still open to suggestions. I'm still loving to hear some stuff from you guys. And, let's move on to Ask Toggle. This week we have, two questions. One of them is from a good friend of mine, Alex. He's on the forum. He's one of our local otters. Well, not local for me, but he's one of the otters. The second question comes from an anonymous source, which I shall not reveal, because now we're mysterious. Anyway, Alex's question is, Toggle, what do you do on your free time? Well, for one, I'm doing this podcast. Of course, now I don't have enough free time lately, but I do this podcast whenever I get the chance. The other things I do include art, lots and lots and lots of art. Love art. In fact, here's the cool thing. I have not really had lessons in art. I am self-taught. And now I'm really looking forward to actually taking lessons so I can actually get better, because I've gotten pretty far without any lessons, I think. I also love to play video games. I have a PS2 and a Nintendo Wii. That's right, Nintendo Wii. I get to make Wii jokes now. I love my Wii. I love to clean my Wii. I have a Wiimote that vibrates. I love to invite friends over. I say, hey, want to play with my Wii? And they're like, yeah, I want to go to your house and play with your Wii. And I'm like, yes, let's go play with some Wii. Oh, I feel so good after saying that. There are not a, whoever named the Wii will burn in hell eternally. I'm sorry, people. Other than that, I love to hang out with friends and a certain friend in particular who I might be mentioning on the next podcast, because I have a secret thing going on. Not so much secret now, but I think I'll wait a little longer before revealing who or what or when or how. But let's just say I have an interesting thing I might get to reveal on the next podcast, eh? The second question, which is now leading up to a new way of the Ask Toggle, is it's a question on advice about long distance relationships. I guess what I can say is I've had an experience that let me know that long distance relationships are quite difficult. They're doable, but they're quite difficult. If you're gonna do one, I guess the first thing is, how do you know them? Are they a previous friend, or are they someone you've met, well, online? If it's a previous friend, it does help because you actually know who they are, what they do, what they look like, that they're real. And in that case, you know, as good as it is also very difficult still because you miss them a lot of the time. And you always want to go see him again. With this, you have to have a strong heart. You have to be able to withstand the nights where you just want to see them so bad. You have to be able to hold on and just know that eventually you'll see him again. And this is something that you have to have a very strong heart to do. The second is if you met them online, such as by, you know, forums, instant messages, phone calls, or whatnot. This is also very difficult because, as much as you may think you see them, eventually you'll really want to see them. Which is very difficult to do, especially with the fact that you may not live near whoever it is. Another part of the whole I am and whatever is, you don't have any proof that you're in a relationship with this. There's no real bonding thing that you can really show to prove that you ever were or are in a relationship with this. So, if wanted, one person could just break it off and you'd never know what would have happened. This isn't necessarily a bad thing so much as it is a safety catch. It does help both of you from really getting hurt, but it does make it difficult to really feel like you're in a real relationship. All I can say for those of you who may want to keep on doing this is be strong. Be very strong. Because doing this means that if you're not strong, you'll get hurt bad. I guess I'm getting kind of emotional, so I really should wrap this up quick. I do want to say that the Ask Toggle section truly is for some questions like this. I'm actually pretty good with advice. I do advise a lot of people, and I'm sure some of them can tell you guys that I help. Helping others is also a lot of fun for me too. And if you don't want your question being asked on here, you can just email me and IM me, and I'll advise you directly. And or you could just do an anonymous letter, like someone else who was anonymous did. I do have to end this with some words of wisdom, so bear with me, I'm running low. Which is worse? To have a heart broken emotionally or physically? Physically means it may be able to be fixed with time, but you may die. Emotionally means that you may be broken forever, and there's no amount of medicine or money that can fix this. Only time and a lot of hard work. You'll die still, but you'll die in a different way. You'll die on the inside. Sorry for the morbid tone, guys, but it's one of those days, eh? I'm Toggle. Thanks for listening. Later.